Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing.com. to register for a meeting near you.
From the Land-Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason out of the office today. Coming up, an interview I did with Corbett Cool. He's the CEO of a company called Tillable. I did that back in July. I asked him just exactly what it is that the company does.
So Tillable is a farmland rental marketplace. So the farmland rental market in the United States is a $32 billion a year market. 40% of all farmland in the U.S. is rented. And in Illinois, over 60% of all farmland is rented. So we're trying to match landowners with great farmers and try to help make sure that landowners get fair market value for their farmland.
As a startup, I assume you see yourself as a disruptive technology. What's the aim?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's disruptive. One of the biggest challenges facing landowners is they don't know what fair market value is from a rental standpoint for their farmland. There aren't great data sources, and some of the data can be either sparse or not super reliable. So yes, USDA publishes, rental averages. I think University of Illinois also publishes some data as well. But we still see that landowners aren't exactly sure what their land is worth. You know, not all farms are created equal, right? And there can be a lot of variability from farm to farm. So what we're trying to do is help landowners understand what their farm is worth, number one, and then number two, expose farms to a large pool of growers that might be looking to expand their operations and basically create a match between a farm and a farmer that is as ideal as possible.
So land leases over time tend to be long-term. How much of a market do you think there might be for Tillable itself? I mean, in meaning, how many landowners actually are looking for a new tenant or thinking about a new cash rent rate?
So a lot of landowners, I would say, at least half of the landowners every year have questions about, are they charging the right amount? Is it too much? Is it too little? And in the absence of data, it's very difficult for them to know. As far as like a new tenant on a farm, by our estimates, every year, 10 to 15% of the farmland could be looking for a new tenant. And in that particular case, it's not only understanding what is the farm worth from a rental standpoint, but who are the growers in my area that might be interested in renting my farm. And then also, if you can imagine a remote landowner, so let's say a landowner living in Chicago that owns, let's say, a farm down near Champaign. That landowner may not be super plugged into the local community. And especially in those cases, we can really help those landowners out and find the right grower for their farm.
Well, let's delve into this in the two pieces I think you have defined for me. One is that there will be a pool of farmers available and they might be able to sign up for that. I'll come back to that in just a second. But first, what are the available bits of data that you'll be providing so that landowners have an idea of what their farm might be worth as it is related to cash rent or rental values?
Well, first and foremost, we try to educate landowners about their particular farm and looking at the productivity of the land and any other unique aspects. You know, let's say a landowner might have some grain storage on their land that would make it, very attractive as well. But, I would say on average, it's really looking at the soil productivity or the the soil types that they have on their farm and how that soil productivity compares to the county average. So in talking to a number of landowners, we have found that a lot of landowners are, you know, they may be vaguely aware of like, is my farm a good farm or a bad farm, but they don't really have data to back it up. And we will help them understand, hey, your farm is, you know, at the county average or better than the county average or worse than the county average from a soil productivity standpoint. So really trying to educate them there first on their particular farm. We will look at USDA published data. We will look at whatever data may be published by University of Illinois or other universities. And then we also have our marketplace data for the counties where we already have farms. We know what those farms are renting for in an environment where you've got a more efficient market taking place. So we take all of that data, pull it together, and give landowners what we call a farm checkup to help them understand, are they in what we would consider kind of the strike zone of where they should be rent-wise for that county and for their particular farm. And if they are, great, you know, it gives them peace of mind and they can kind of go on about their way. We do that for free of charge. If they're not and they want to put their land on tillable, we can make sure that they're going to get, you know, what we consider to be fair market value for their farmland. So it's really, you know, first and foremost, kind of educating the landowners about their particular farms. And then secondly, trying to give them the tools to make sure that not only are they getting fair market value, but their land's being properly cared for.
And on the farmer side, what are you offering?
So on the farmer side, we're giving farmers access to more farmland to rent. So one of the biggest problems facing farmers is if I'm a farmer and I'm looking to expand my operations, where do I find more land to rent? Where do I find landowners? So I call this kind of the coffee shop problem, right? You're the victim of, the day that you happen to walk into the coffee shop, is there a landowner there that is looking for a farmer? And we just don't think that's a very efficient process, either for the grower or for the landowner. So with having land listed on a digital platform like Tillable, multiple growers can see what land is available in their area, what the distance that farm is from their home base of operation, what attributes that farmland may have, everything from soil productivity, what capital improvements have been made to the land, what does the drainage look like. We may have tile maps, we may have satellite imagery, we may have drone footage, we may have prior yield maps for a farm. And all of that information can help a grower make a more informed decision about, number one, is this a farm that they're interested in farming? And number two, what does the farmer think fair market value would be for that farm for his particular operation? Because what one farmer thinks is fair market value versus another farmer could be radically different for a variety of reasons. It could be everything from location, how far away the farm is from a farmer's home base of operation, to size, to whatever crop is being grown on that field may or may not be of interest to the grower. So really trying to make it a more transparent way to find farmland and provide more information to the farmer so that they can make a more informed decision about, is this a farm they should be interested in?
Would Tillable be a third-party signatory to the lease?
It depends. So in the case where Tillable is just being used by the landowner to, run price discovery and find a farmer, et cetera, no, we're not a party to that lease. In the case where we make a hassle-free lease offer to a landowner, then Tillable becomes the lessee of the land. And then we put the land on the platform, and then we sublease it out to a farmer. So it really depends on the type of relationship that Tillable has with the landowner that determines, you know, who is actually on the lease.
Does that bring the farmland investor into the mix? I see that listed on your website.
Well, the farmland investors have, believe it or not, a lot of the same challenges that small landowners do. So, you know, strictly speaking, the services that we're providing to farmland investors are, you know, a better way to manage a large pool of farmland because we perform electronic leases. We have all the growers and landowners sign electronic leases. And then we also collect payments electronically through the platform. And we help collect data from the grower back to the landowner through the platform as well. So for farmland investors, the big advantage that they see in using Tillable is really it's a digital platform to help them manage farmland at scale. That, you know, we like to say a lot of farmland management is kind of trapped in the 1950s, and we think that using digital tools and more automated processes can help decrease the amount of overhead in managing that farmland.
Okay, so as I see it, and I think there are three things that you're doing, but maybe there are more, maybe there are less. So you're a platform in which landowners and farmers can find each other. Is there a cost for that if they just use you in that way?
So the way that works is we charge the landowner 2% of the rent, and we charge the grower 2% of the rent if they use us as kind of a matchmaking or finding service.
A landowner can turn over the leasing process to you, and then you're able to compile all of that property and find land, then find farmers to farm that land. What is the cost there on both ends?
In that particular case, the grower would continue to pay 2%, and then the relationship between Tillable and the landowner is a little bit different. We will pay that landowner in advance of the upcoming season, either 1 year or up to 3 years right now. And the landowner just gets paid what we think fair market value is, minus our take rate, minus whatever financing costs we have on our side. So in that particular case, it's not an easy fee number to answer because we do a predicted rent and we pay the landowner out in advance of the upcoming season.
Right. So essentially you have an agreement with the farmer, but the lease payment that you give to the landowner may be different entirely than that agreement.
It could be. And the advantage for the landowner is they are paid in advance. They don't have to worry about commodities price fluctuations. They don't have to worry about the tariff situation. They don't have to worry about the creditworthiness of the grower. Tillable takes on all of that responsibility and risk. And that's part of the reason why we call it our hassle-free lease, because the landowner gets paid up front and they just don't have any of the same concerns that they would have today. And then our responsibility back to the landowner is we make sure that that land is properly being properly taken care of through soil sampling, keeping track of the fertilization that's being done on the farmland, and just general farming practices. So really trying to make it very easy for the landowners and eliminate a lot of the worry that they've had in the past.
And then for the farmland investors, Tillable becomes the farm manager in a similar fashion?
Yeah, Tillable really becomes kind of a SaaS platform for the investor, farmland investor. Or we've even had some farm managers come to us honestly and say, hey, you know, we love what you guys are doing at Tillable. We would like to use the platform as kind of an electronic tool to make it easier for us to manage a lot of farmland. So yeah, in that particular case, we really become a software as a service, and they use us just as a tool that they use in doing their job. And they can, choose to use the marketplace of growers or just keep their existing growers in that particular case, and they're just using us like a software tool.
Yeah, so for producers who are not used to SaaS or a SaaS as a platform, large companies use this in order to help manage all kinds of things. Places like Kraft and others are always in the midst of using these kind of programs.
Yeah, and I apologize for throwing some lingo around there, but yeah, it's really, I see a lot of benefit. Let's just talk about payments for a second. So whether it's on the grower side, or let's say it's on the ag investor side, if it's not uncommon for a professional ag investor to own, let's say, a few hundred farms, right? Even the collection of payments, you know, making sure that you get the checks, were the checks on time, did the checks get lost, et cetera. Having a platform that can collect the payments electronically, and then also for the grower, you know, it's a lot easier to be able to send your payments in electronically and know that they got to the intended recipient on time. We've had a number of large growers tell us that, you know, hey, I manage, let's say 100 leases, you know, leading up to March 1st every year is kind of a big pain for them because it's, you know, a bookkeeping nightmare. They're writing a lot of checks, making sure that they get the right check in the right envelope. Tillable can eliminate a lot of that, that concern and complexity.
And finally, can you tell me a little bit about the history of the company? Where did you come from and how it developed?
Yeah, so my background is I grew up in Southern Illinois in a small town called Lawrenceville, basketball powerhouse, back in the 70s and 80s. I went to school at Rose Holman in Terre Haute, and I'm an electrical engineer. I got into agriculture 7-8 years ago when I started a company called 640 Labs. And 640 Labs was acquired by Climate Corporation, and at the time was a division of Monsanto. Now that's Climate is a division of Bayer after the acquisition of Monsanto by Bayer. I got the idea for Tillable when a friend of mine inherited a farm from his grandmother, and he called me up asking me for assistance in how does he manage this farm, and he was just talking to me about some of the challenges that he personally was facing, and that really kind of opened up my eyes to, you know, number one, how big the farmland rental space is, number two, how important renting farmland is not only for landowners, but also for growers, right? I mean, without all the rented farmland, let's say in Illinois, farming as we know it would be way different. And then also just, you know, on the pricing side and access to growers, you know, landowners don't know for sure what their land is worth from a rental standpoint, and they may not know or have a long list of growers that might be interested in renting their farmland. So it's really just an accidental conversation that happened between myself and a friend who inherited a farm, and that's how I got interested in it. And I just thought, gosh, you know, at the time the year was 2017, but today it's 2019. It's kind of hard to believe that there can be a $32 billion a year market in the United States that really has not had much technology introduced to it. And I thought, wow, this could be a really interesting business to start and solve problems not only for landowners, but also for growers.
That was Corbett Cool of Tillable. I interviewed him in July of 2019. You know, the world's population is approaching 8 billion people. Have you ever wondered how the Earth's population has grown over time? How did we get to this point? And even more, how do we feed that many people? Because, you know, it is an enormous number. Just how big? Well, in year one of our Christian calendar, there were about 200 million people on the planet with an M. It took about 1,800 years for that number to grow to 1 billion with a B. It's about the same time that Thomas Jefferson, yes, that Thomas Jefferson, was tinkering with the moldboard plow. It's a good thing, and even better when John Deere took the iron plow and made it steel in the 1830s. Oh, and the McCormick Reaper was patented about then, too, and the first grain elevator was built in Buffalo, New York. It took about 300 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of wheat from 5 acres of land in 1830. 20 years later, in 1850, when the world population had grown to 1.2 billion, and those inventions were pretty widely used, a farmer could spend just 90 hours to raise 100 bushels of corn on half that number of acres. Well, some things are so simple and so overlooked, but change everything. Barbed wire. It tamed the West and changed everything about animal husbandry and beef cattle production. Joseph Glidden of DeKalb, Illinois, didn't invent it, but did improve it and is considered the father of modern barbed wire. Fencing. Who knew? It did the job, and by 1927, when the planet passed 2 billion people, the open range had been fenced. And don't think things in the world of hogs weren't changing, too. In 1934, the Landrace breed was imported from Denmark to the United States. Oh, and row crops. It was about that same time the first hybrid seed corn company was founded, 1926, Henry A. Wallace's Pioneer Hybrid. It took about 20 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn from 2.5 acres. And farmers began the switch from horses to tractors. Well, in the span of about 30 years, the human race added another billion people. It was 1960, and there were 3 billion of us. Most of America had electricity, and it sure looked like Asia was going to starve to death. Well, Dr. Norman Borlaug, whom I had the pleasure of interviewing for more than an hour in the 1990s, staved that one off when he came across a high-yielding dwarf wheat variety. It saved Asia. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970. Anhydrous ammonia fertilizer and herbicides to control weeds were introduced in the 60s. We grew to 4 billion people by 1975, and it just took 3 man-hours to produce 100 bushels of corn on not 5, but about 1 acre of land. We reached 5 billion people in 1987 and 6 billion in 1999, and during that same period, man learned how to genetically modify plants. Monsanto introduced Roundup Ready soybeans. They were resistant to glyphosate herbicide. Our soils do a better job of staying put today, in large part because Roundup allowed farmers to stop tilling the land as often or as deep. Well, the first BT corn hybrids were introduced then, too. They were resistant to insects. So our planet is now approaching 8 billion people, and for the most part, we have not starved. Don't forget to visit our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. There you can buy your tickets for the all-day Agricultural Outlook. That's coming up really quickly now. It's the third day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's on the Illinois-Indiana border. Just inside that border, exit 4. It's really simple and easy to get to off of Interstate 74. I hope you can join us for the day. The cost is just $30 for that. You get rolling coffee in the morning, your Beef House lunch at the noon hour, and 17 analysts throughout the day to talk about the commodity markets and the future of agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason.